Well, we're going to dig into the Word here today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be jumping around a little bit. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to also be into Matthew a little bit, and actually back in Daniel. So we're in the New Testament, first couple of books of the New Testament, Matthew and Luke. And then if you go back 6, 7, 8 or so books, you're going to find the book of Daniel. So we're going to be hopping around. So if you've got multiple fingers, you can stick it in the Bible there. We've been going through the Christmas story, and last week we read and we looked at the shepherd's perspective, and today we're going to look at the Christmas story from the angel's perspective. So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you open our hearts, deliver your message to our hearts, Lord. I pray you plant the seed, Lord, that it may grow. I pray that we learn something today, Lord, that you have to speak. So let your words be spoken today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, any good students out there? Anybody going, wait a second. We already read this, right? Last week, for those of you that were awake, I know we were talking about sheep and counting them, and maybe I put some of you to a sleep. We read this exact same scripture, okay? So what gives? Well, I got such good feedback about the message last week, I just thought, hey, let's just do it again. Half of you were sleeping anyways, so let's just, you know. So I spent my week doing whatever I wanted to do. No, it's the same scripture, yes, as last week, and we focused on the shepherds. But in the same story, we are introduced to the angels, or specifically one angel. So if you thought I picked on the shepherds a little bit last week, you're going to enjoy today. I hope our Heavenly Father and angels have a sense of humor, because I'm going to be picking on the angels, specifically one angel. Don't worry if lightning does strike. Hopefully it'll stay right about here and not go out to you guys. But I think we're going to have a good time looking at the Christmas story from an angel's perspective. Now, the Bible names two angels. Well, you could say technically three. There's that guy who was up there and he fell down, sort of thing. We won't speak of him. But the other two angels that we know about is Michael. And Michael is a warring angel. He's the battle angel. And then there's Gabriel. So he's the messenger angel. So what does that mean? Michael spends all of his time on Fortnite on his phone, and Gabriel is on Facebook, okay? So those are the things. They're a little bit different. Their personalities are different. Their job description is a little bit different. So we know about Michael, and we know about Gabriel. Now, the book of Luke in the Christmas story, they do name Gabriel from time to time. Matthew does not. And I want to look at that. I want to look at mainly Gabriel today. Now, if you've been wondering maybe my last few messages, okay, maybe I haven't been hitting the volume of scripture that you want. Today I'm going to up the average quite a bit, so we're going to be looking at a whole lot of scripture just to get the content that we need. So that's why fingers in Matthew and Luke and in Daniel. So we're going to be reading quite a bit. And also another premise that you need to get through this message, I got ground rules for a message today, so I got to make sure we're all on the same page, okay? So this could be interesting. So this message is going to be kind of like a freaky sci-fi movie where the time, like someone's got time travel and they move all over the place, okay? So we're going to start right here in Luke, and then we're going to move forward and backwards and forward in time. But we're mainly trying to follow this character named Gabriel, so hang on tight. And also, the scripture does point out his name, Gabriel, but there are a few scriptures in the Christmas story where it says an angel of the Lord, or an angel. And I'm kind of going from the perspective, Gabriel's been pretty busy taking care of this story. If he's not named and it's an angel, I'm thinking this is Gabriel anyways. Okay, so I'm going from the premise that Gabriel angel in the story, in the Christmas story, and when we head back in the Old Testament as well. So could it be a different angel? Sure. But for the sake of the story, I think it doesn't really matter. But I'm going to call him Gabriel. All right. So you with me? Lots of scripture. Freaky timeline. We're calling him Gabriel. All right. We ready for this? I'm looking forward to this. This should be fun. So the first time we meet Gabriel, I think, is right here in Luke. And the angel spoke to them, okay? And what's one of the key lines that I see? Don't be afraid, okay? As we are introduced to Gabriel the angel, we're going to find that term quite a bit. Why would he say, don't be afraid? Well, we're going to figure that out, okay? So the first time we meet him, Gabriel comes and he delivers this message. The Christ is born. Let's go see him. He's talking to the shepherds, okay? But now we're going to back up a little bit. So that's the night of the birth. But we also meet in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is back when Mary becomes pregnant. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and remember that name, we're going to hit a little bit later, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village of Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid." Oh, I think I've heard that line before. "Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end," Mary asked the angel. "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." Then the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." So Gabriel comes to earth, and he meets Mary, this young lady. Who knows? 13, 14, 15, we don't know, but she, in that culture, you married fairly young if you were a woman. And so here's this young lady, and the angel of the Lord, I think God was up in heaven, said, "Gabriel, I got a job for you. I need you to go down, and I need you to talk to this young lady, okay? And here are the things." So I think, you know, while Michael was the good-looking, strong, buff angel, right, I think, you know, Gabriel probably spent his time in the office up in heaven, you know, on his phone and his computer. He was a spreadsheets and checklist kind of guy. Okay, he was maybe a little bit of the nerdy angel, my kind of guy. I know I'm good looking, but I'm probably more the nerdy type, okay? So Gabriel's my kind of guy, so I think the way he does. So he probably had this clipboard, right? And he had, like, his checklist of the things that he was supposed to say to Mary. And so he goes to Mary, and he lays out this list. "Mary, you are favored. God is with you. Don't be afraid. You are favored." You know, I repeat myself too a couple times. He says it twice. "You will have a son. Name him Jesus. He will be important, great. He is the Son of the Most High, also known as God. He will sit on the throne of David. He will reign over the kingdom. He will have a never-ending kingdom." Wow. Check, 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 check. He went all the way through and he was excited. I got through the message. She received it. Do you guys remember, like, math class in high school where, you know, the teacher is going through, like, these six steps of a formula, right? And you don't get the first one, and he's still going, right? And he's on to six, and you're like, I am so lost. That's exactly what is happening right here, because he lays out all these awesome things. Jesus Christ is coming. But what is Mary's response? She's like, Gabe, can I call you Gabe? Gabe, wait a second. Go back a step. I'm going to have a kid. I haven't been with a guy. I mean, she doesn't even pay attention to Christ, to the forever reign. She's just focused on, wait a second. I'm going to have a child. This doesn't make much sense to me. Can you go back to the part where I conceive? Okay, let's go into that time. This is going to be a little weird, maybe a little awkward. We'll dance around a little bit, okay? But Mary, maybe a couple of years ago, something changed in her life, okay? And she went to her mom and says, Mom, something's different. And her mom goes, oh, Mary, we need to have a talk. And they have the talk, right? The birds and the bees and the XYZ, okay? She goes through everything with Mary and explains how all this, how the body's changing and how things and the culture and marriage and kids, okay? I mean, Mary doesn't have, she doesn't have an iPhone. She doesn't have the internet. She doesn't have books. She doesn't have TV or movies. She hears from her mom, and that's about it, okay? And if she did talk amongst her friends, they're all kind of ignorant of the subject. But she's got something in her head of this is how it works. And the angel says, you're going to conceive, and the child is going to be God's. I don't get it, okay? And then she asks the question, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. I don't think that was on Gabriel's checklist. He's like, wait, I have to explain this to you. And what does he say? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Who's the Holy Spirit? Okay. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I'm sorry, this is strange, but think about it. Just the concept she has in her mind of how this happens and God and overshadowing. Her brain was probably about to explode. This does not make sense. I don't know how you think this is going to happen. I can't comprehend it. And yet, she says, I don't get it, but I believe you. May it be as you have told me. She was ignorant. She was confused and disturbed. She did not understand. And yet this angel standing before her, she's like, I believe this is an angel of God, and I trust God. May it be as you have told me. What powerful faith. What a powerful belief that even in lack of understanding, she can go with that. Do you know what this means? Because she does understand one thing. Her mom probably explained it to her. You know, when you get engaged, make sure you're good and holy. Because if you ever found to be with a child during the engagement, this community can stone you to death. And when she says, may it be as you've told me, she understood that. This could mean my death. And yet she says, may it be as you have told me. What a powerful belief. What powerful faith. If we could have that same thing. How many times there's a difficult path in front of us and we want God to lay it out for us. And maybe he speaks to us. He says, I want you to do this. And we go, but that doesn't make sense. I must not have heard God right. I can't do that. If we have the belief of Mary and we have the faith that she has, may it be as you have told me. Oh, I would be so hungry to hear from an angel, so hungry to hear from God, to hear from the Holy Spirit giving me direction, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it doesn't make sense. So she had such powerful faith. I have a feeling Gabriel was like, wow, that was pretty easy. That could have gone really bad if I really had to explain this to her. So he steps outside her door, closes the door, and he's like, whew, all right, that's good. So he pulls out, goes to page 2 of his clipboard and goes, oh, I got to talk to Joe now. This is going to be hard. And it's probably so difficult that he delayed in telling Joseph. I think he was supposed to go down to 561 Nazareth Lane and talk to Joe right then and there. But he's like, wow, she was this close to making a really difficult conversation. And I don't know what Joseph's going to do. He's probably an adult, older guy. You know, there was a guy in the Old Testament who wrestled with an angel. I'm not a warring type. You know, Joseph, I hear he's a carpenter, burly guy. I don't know if I want to go there. So he delays a little bit in telling Joseph what's going on, okay? And we're reading Matthew, so flip back to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And so he has this idea, and apparently angels can do this. He's like, you know what I'll do? I'll skip the confrontation altogether. I'll just go into him, talk to him in a dream sort of thing. I'll send him a little message, okay? You know, that I don't have to be there. It'll be like a virtual message. Yeah, we can do that. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her or kill her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, the angel of the Lord, who I believe is Gabriel, appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David." The angel said, "Do not be afraid." That's his like opening statement everywhere, okay? Take Mary, your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. All right, so I don't know how this worked, you know. Apparently, he already knows from Mary that she's going to have a child. She probably told him the angel thing, the story thing, and they probably both went, "Wait, how is this going to happen?" And so he's debating in his mind, how am I going to deal with this? And that's when the dream came. So I think Gabriel was a little slow, okay? He should have taken care of this earlier, but now Joseph is going through all this anxiety. Oh, what am I going to do? And I don't know if finally he was, you know, Gabriel was like, you know, he made sure Joseph came home, and he's outside leaning against the house. He's like, all right, it's a quarter after 10. He's probably asleep. I think I hear snoring, okay? And he delivers this message into a dream, okay? And then all of a sudden his phone trips up and goes, it says that Joseph has received this message. So he knows, all right, Joseph's got the message. That's great. And Joseph wakes up and, you know, whoa, that was weird. Okay, so the child is God's. Sounds good to me. Okay, see, a little bit different than Mary. No questions. She just gets up and he's like, all right, okay, I believe you. Hey, Mary, we're good to go. Okay, so I think Gabriel's like, hey, I think I figured this out. Let's go to people in dreams. You know, this Joseph guy, that was no problem. No weird questions. He didn't get mad at me. Okay, so, and yet there was that little line, don't be afraid, because he, for some reason, and we'll find out why, wants to make sure people don't freak out. What I love about Joseph is he just gets up and he obeys. Obedience to God's word. How powerful is that? God can speak to us. Just like Mary, she had faith and had questions, and yet these two people were like, okay, God's spoken. Nothing is going to stand against that. So we went back to conception, and then and in time, then we went to Joseph and his part. Now we move ahead, and in the timeline, we meet the shepherds, which we read at the beginning there in Luke, okay? So we're moving ahead in the timeline again. And again, when he talked to the shepherds, he said, don't be afraid. And if we move ahead in the timeline, and I don't know if it was a month, if it was a year, probably a max of up to 2 years, we meet some more guys, the wise men. They traveled from afar. Now, we see the nativity scene, and typically there's some wise men in there. It might not be completely true, because the wise men really weren't there on the day of the birth, because when the star shone, they had some traveling to do, okay? And we don't know quite certain, because I think we read about it that they went to the house where Mary was with the child. Well, she wasn't in a house when he was born. So this could have been up to about 2 years later, okay? So the wise men, they're sitting at their place, their palace, somewhere maybe in the east, and a star shines, and somehow they've got knowledge and understanding of what that means. So they pack their donkeys, and they go on along, their camels or whatnot, whatever the pictures show. And it must be true if the pictures say donkeys or camels sort of thing. And so they travel for a long period. Something happens. They get to the border of Israel, and their cell phone service doesn't work anymore. Apparently, they didn't have the international package, okay? So they no longer have service, and so that means their GPS isn't working, because all of a sudden they're lost. Well, we got this far. Where is this Christ? I'm confused. I got no... So what do you do when your phone's not working? You look for the closest Verizon store. Where would that be? That would be in Jerusalem, right? Okay, so they need directions. They either need to get the international package on their phone. I am making this up, okay? This is not in this, okay. Just want to make sure you're with me, okay? So So they're like, well, okay, we can't get the upgrade on our phones. The iPhone 11 isn't out quite yet, so we're going to head on over and get directions. Where should we get directions? Well, the king should know. So they went to Herod, the king. Hey, where is this Christ? Where is this child? You should know about him, because this is a pretty big deal for you guys. And Herod really has no clue of what's going on. And so he starts asking questions of them, and he talks to his leaders, and they find out the baby probably should have been born in Bethlehem. And they start getting information, and he says, why don't you head out? Why don't you leave from here? I'll work on the phones for you. And so you find him. When you come back, I'll get you the nice phones, okay? But make sure you come back to me, so that way I can go worship the Christ with you. And I'm like, ah, okay. And as soon as they leave, the star again begins to guide them. And they find the Christ child, and they worship him, and they bring gifts to the child, okay? And then in Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. How do I think that's went? So they go to Herod and say, where's the Christ? And now the kingdom is on. The kingdom has an adversary, this Christ child, this other king. And he's upset, and he wants to kill this child. Word gets to God. God's like, oop, this isn't good. Hey, Gabriel, what you doing? Playing Tetris on my computer. Okay, well, you're not busy, so I'm going to send you down to earth. And I want you to warn the wise men not to go back to King Herod. Okay, let's see. Last time I did this, when I went to Mary, that was weird. I went into the dream of Joseph. Okay, yeah, we'll use that tactic. So somehow they were warned in a dream. And I think Gabriel was at work again. And the Bible tells us they went a different direction. Okay, and that story continues on. That King Herod wanted to kill the child, so he started killing all children 2 years and younger. So that was probably our timeline that we're looking at. So Gabriel, in dreams, and even at that time, you know, he gets done warning the wise men, and they're heading back to the country. And he's like, all right, sweet, I get to go to the next level on Tetris. And he gets a message on his phone, and God says, well, you're not done yet, because Herod is going to try to destroy every child. We need to get Joseph and Mary and Jesus out of here. Okay. So he goes back and he goes up to the house and he's about to knock on the door. I mean, these guys know me, but he's still freaking out. Okay, this could go bad again. Maybe they don't remember me, sort of thing. So then we meet Jesus or Joseph again. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Yeah, let's use that tactic again. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary and his mother. So Gabriel uses this dream tactic again. And this time he doesn't have to say, don't be afraid. He says, get up. He's got this connection with Joseph. Joseph knows him. They're buddies now. Get up. You got to get going. Gabriel's getting to know a good way to communicate with these humans. And he gives direction. And Joe gets up. And he's like, oh, that was weird. All right, hon, we got to go. And he believed. He's already got this belief. Because you trust God once. That second step is sometimes so much easier that he's following the command, following what the angel is telling them. So they leave. And then even in that scripture, it says, I'm going to tell you to return. So again, later, Matthew chapter 2, 19 and 20, Joseph 3.0, we have one more conversation, one more time. Gabriel and Joseph. When Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up. That sounds familiar. The angel said, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead. Get up. You know, reading through this, I think I've come up with my most favoritest character in the Bible. Joseph. He's my man. You know why? Because he slept through the entire story. every time we find him, he's either asleep at night or taking a nap in his lazy boy, because that's how God is communicating with him, okay? He's using dreams, and it's working. Every time he wakes up, all right, we got to go someplace. Oh, you dreaming again, Joseph? I thought you were awake. Okay, so he slept through the entire thing, but he obeyed. He obeyed. And the Bible does tell us that young men will have visions and old men will have dreams. So there is some, I'm going to get in trouble with some wives here. There is some biblical, you know, foundation to getting good naps and stuff, especially if you're a little bit older, because maybe God wants to speak to you in dreams, okay? So Joseph is the man. And even on that, pay attention to your dreams. Now, we could go into it, either myself or Pastor Arv, we could go into a lot of understanding, teaching about dreams. We don't find a whole lot of basis in there where the enemy uses dreams. And I know we have some weird dreams, okay? But sometimes it seems like God wants to communicate to us in our dreams. This is a complete side note. But if you have a dream that doesn't make sense or disturbs you, write it down. Pray about it. God might be speaking to you. He wants to communicate with you. And you know what he does in dreams? He uses the database. He uses the dictionaries. He uses the pictures, the photo album that you have in your head to communicate to you. So what's in there, he can draw from. And sometimes the stuff that we have in there isn't really good. And yet he draws from it to communicate with us. So pay attention to your dreams, especially if you're an old guy taking a nap. Pay attention to your dreams. God might be wanting to speak to you. And speaking of old time or old man, we're going to move in our timeline, okay? So we've moved back and forth here, okay? We started the shepherds, went back to Mary and Joseph, and then we went with the wise men, and then Joseph a couple of more times. Now we're going way back a few months before Mary is born. And we meet the old man. We meet Zechariah in Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to be looking. Luke chapter 1. Now Zechariah was a priest. And he served in Jerusalem. He served at the temple. And how it worked is some organizing priest, my type of guy, he scheduled, okay? So he had an app on all their phones as well to schedule them for their duties. And every week, a new family of priests, so the dad and the brothers and the uncles, they were, all the guys within that family, they were on duty that week to take care of the temple. And there's probably quite a few of them. And twice a day, you had to go into the temple to light the incense, okay? And it was kind of an honor to be able to go in there. So they drew straws. They rolled dice. They cast lots to see who would be picked to go in there. And that day, Zechariah, the old guy, his number got called. And that was an honor. It was a blessing. So he was looking forward. He was looking at his watch. You know, I don't know if it was 10 o'clock in the morning. He was just like, okay, I can't wait to get in there and do my work. So he was getting prepped, you know, made sure he had the right stuff on. He had the incense in one hand, his Zippo lighter in the other hand. Okay, he was ready to take care of his duties. And so he's prepping to head in there. And on his mind is one thing and only one thing. He was an old man, and he was married to Elizabeth. And she was barren. They had no kids. Now, in that day and age, that pretty much meant you were cursed because your children were your blessing and they were your future. There was some belief that there was no resurrection. There was no future. So the only eternity there was in your offspring. And if you had no offspring, you had no future. You had no eternity. And so he was praying about this all the time. God, I want a child. I need a child. The other thing is as you're older, there's nobody to care for you because there was no Social Security. There was no nursing home. It was simply your kids take care of you. If you have no kids, you are down and out. There's nothing you can do. And so this was on his mind when he was about to come into the temple. God, I want kids. That was his prayer. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, 11 through 18. Just hit a few verses at first, though. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing right to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. All right, imagine this, okay? Zechariah walks up to the big door. It's a really big door. Turns the handle. He opens it up, and everyone's behind him. They're all hushed because the priest is going into it, and he kind of pulls the door, and it slams behind him and gives him that little startle. Because inside, it's dark, okay? There's no windows. There's a little candle stand over on the left, right? Okay, that's about all there is. And he smells, and he can smell this maybe a little musty smell as well as the table of showbread. So there's fresh bread, and he realized he should have eaten before he came in there. So he's a little hungry, but he also smells like the residue of the previous incense that was in that place. And again, it's dark, but everything has this weird glow because everything is covered in glow gold, right? And so he starts looking around like this is awesome, and he heads up to the altar with the incense, right? And he puts in the incense, and he reaches down for his Zippo lighter to pull it out, and he looks up, and ah! An angel's standing there. He wasn't there a second ago. Of course you're overwhelmed with fear, and you're freaking out. Gabriel, dude, you're freaking people out. This doesn't work. Don't appear to people. Maybe have a voice or something like that and then work in there sort of thing, okay? I don't know, but you're freaking people out. So here Zechariah is terrified. He was in fear when he saw him. Verse 13, but the angel of the Lord said, don't be afraid. Gabriel, come on. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Amen. That big thing, the thing that is a huge thing in your life, God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son. You are to name him John. You will have a great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Remember being in math class in high school when the teacher had like this long formula, and on the first point, you got lost, okay? Here he is, Gabriel again. He's got his clipboard, he's got his checklist, and he's going through the checklist, right? And he's saying, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. You're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. People are going to rejoice. He's going to be great. Make sure he has a Nazarite vow. There's no wine. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn hearts to God. He will operate under the power of Elijah, who prepared the way for the coming Lord. Yes, the Lord is coming. He's going to bring families together. We will bring wisdom to the rebels. Gabriel's going through his checklist, and what did Zechariah do? He got stuck on point three. Wait a second. Time out. Gabriel. Gabe. Can I call you Gabe? Gabe. I'm going to have a kid? Wait. Sure. Coming Elijah. Coming Christ. Yeah, that's all way cool. I'm going to have a kid. He's stuck on this point. He's not even questioning. I don't even know the Holy Spirit and the Lord is coming. No. I'm going to have a kid? I don't understand. Right? And so He needs a little explanation. He needs some understanding, right? Zechariah, back when he was a young man, things were changing in his life. Dad, things are different. And his dad says, son, we need to have a talk. And so his dad had this conversation with Zechariah about the birds and the bees and the XYZs. And he got his understanding from his dad, and one of the things was, so I get to have kids forever? No, son. No. You see, as you get older, for you and especially your wife, there's going to come a time where you can't have kids anymore. Okay? And so he's sitting there. He's got this question. Hold up, Gabriel. I don't get this. One, I'm old. Two, she's been barren. This isn't going to happen. He's confused, right? He doesn't understand. So we pick up in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? For I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. Complete side note, bonus point. Men, have your ears open right here. My favorite verse in the Bible. How can this be? I'm an old man now, and my wife is well along in years. This man respects his wife. Man, he respects his wife. Your wife will never get old. She may be advanced in years, I mean, he's even to an angel of the Lord, he's not going to spit that out. Okay. Okay. So a little bonus note. No, don't call them old. Okay. Picking up at 19. Then the angel said to Gabriel, I am Gabriel.
Okay.
I stand in the very presence of God. All right, that's cool. It was he who sent me here to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you are going to be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled in the proper time. Right, this is like the first time in the New Testament we see Gabriel. Okay, and we're figuring out this do not be afraid, because everyone is freaking out every time he shows up. And now he's upset because this person questioned him. Oh, how can he question me? Don't you know who I am? You are mute. Well played, Gabriel. Well played. Okay, you don't know what you just did, okay? I think as soon as it was done, you know, Gabriel goes up to his office and God comes in and says, hey, how'd it go? Oh, yeah, it went pretty good. Did he get the message? Yeah, yeah. What's this here? What's this that I hear about that he's mute? Oh, well, he didn't believe me. Gabriel. I've been around for thousands of years and they still don't believe me. And people can still talk, okay? So ease off on the mute, because I've got a few more people I need you to talk to, but they need to be able to talk, okay? So lay off the mute. Besides, you need to think about the rest of the story here, okay? Think about Zechariah. Poor guy. He's excited, and he goes back to that big door, and he opens it up and comes out. Everyone's standing there, kind of questions on their face. What's taking you so long? What happened? And he goes, and he can't talk, right? And they're like, okay, this guy is a little bit old. Okay, all right, he's being kind of, sorry, I shouldn't pick on. So he's advanced in years. And so he heads home. Think about this. Poor Zechariah. He gets home. Hey, hon, how's your day? Oh, you're not talking to me. Okay, fine. Be that way. Well, I'll tell you about my day. Let me tell you what I went through today. I mean, it was horrible. Oh, you're not even going to pay attention or respond. Oh, that's how this is going? Okay. Zechariah has something on his mind. He's going to have a kid. How is he going to have a kid? Anybody? How is he going to have a kid? He's got to woo his wife without any words. How is that going to go? I mean, she's washing dishes, goes up, rubs her shoulders, and she swats him off. He's like, man, really wish I could talk, because this is a really neat story, but she's not going to understand. Sometimes God talks to us, and we're so excited. And a spouse, a child, a boss, family member. You can't convince them. We're convinced. And sometimes that could have been the end of it. Kudos to Zechariah. Somehow he figured it out. Okay, he wooed his wife and they were able to have a kid. Okay, moving on. Good old Gabriel. This guy needs to learn a little bit, okay? All right. So we're done with the New Testament. I am getting to a point. Hopefully you've been picking up the little nuggets along the way, but we are getting to a really cool point, which hopefully I can get to quickly. Now we're going to move in the timeline. We are going to go way back in time. We're going back to the book of Daniel. And this is where we meet Gabriel for the first time. So these tendencies he has, muting people, freaking people out, okay, his terminologies and stuff, we understand it when we get back here into the book of Daniel, because something really neat is going to happen. So at this time, Daniel, he was like a governor. He was kind of high up in the ranks of like the Babylonian Empire, okay? At this time, Israel, they had sinned. They turned from God, and they were put into exile. Both at the time, it was split between Judah and Israel, but they were put into exile. Okay, so they're in captivity, and yet the captive nation did use the best of the best to help them in their government. And so that's where we meet Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Smart young men, they were Jewish, and yet they worked in this kingdom. And Daniel was he loved God. and he stood up for God. And we know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. He had great faith, okay? And the Bible tells us pretty much one day, as what was his tradition, he sat down at his desk in his office and he's reading the Bible. Now, he didn't have the whole Bible that we have today. He probably had the Pentateuch. He had the first five books of the Bible. Maybe he had some Psalms, some tidbits of Proverbs. But he probably had a couple of the prophets, which was Isaiah and Jeremiah. And these were contemporaries, so to speak. They were pretty close, either overlapping timeline with him or before him. And he has some of their writings because these guys were prophets hearing from God during this exile and this captivity. And so he's reading through the Bible and he's getting a little history, kind of understanding what's going on. Okay. And in Jeremiah 29, he reads about the desolation of Jerusalem because his city, Jerusalem, was destroyed. And he knew that as he was reading, the prophecy speaks about that they would be in captivity for 70 years. And he looks at his Rolex, looks at his watch, and he goes, wow, we're at year 66 or 67. We got 3 years to go. We've been in captivity for 67 years. The time is almost up. If you were in captivity, if you were serving prison time, and you had just months to go, you'd be excited, right? He's excited reading through, doing his devos, understanding what's going on. Captivity is almost up. And so if he's thinking, okay, then what happens next? It's got to be in here. God spoke to his prophets. And so he cracks open the book of Isaiah. And it starts giving him some more information. And he starts understanding that some of the prophecies is the Messiah is going to come. Oh, we're getting out of captivity. The Messiah is coming. There's going to be a new reign. There's going to be a new kingdom. I mean, his heart is pumping. He's so excited. But then he reads, but the Messiah will not come if the nation does not repent. God can free them from captivity, but God wants their hearts to turn to God, and he's not going to send the Messiah if they're not repenting. And so in Daniel chapter 9, we're not going to read it, but 3 through 19, instantly, he does what a good man does. He closes his Bible. He puts it down. He kneels on the ground with his hands on his chair, and he begins to pray. And he begins to repent on behalf of himself and of his people. Oh, God, we're nearing the finish line. And I know these people, they've turned their hearts from you. Many of them have forgotten you. But, Lord, we turn our hearts to you. Lord, let us see you again. Lord, we want to repent of our sins. We've fallen all these heathen ways, these sins. But we want to follow you and you alone. And it tells us in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, Gabriel shows up. And we're going to get to that in a moment. Now, this is actually the second time Gabriel has appeared to Daniel. The first time, best story ever. First time is back in Daniel chapter 8, verse 15 through 18. I love this. I like to laugh. I think there's a portion of the Bible that if you understand everything, there is a little bit of humor. I see it in here. Hopefully you see it too. Daniel chapter 8. 15 through 18. So this was the first time Daniel met Gabriel. As I, Daniel, was trying to understand the meaning of this vision, someone who looked like a man stood in front of me. Poof. Where have we seen that before? And I heard a human voice calling out from the Ulai River, Gabriel, this man, tell this man the meaning of the vision. So we know this is Gabriel. As Gabriel approached the place where I was standing, I became so terrified that I fell on my face to the ground. Son of man, he said, you must understand what the events you have seen in your vision relate to the time of the end. While he was speaking, I fainted. I lay there with my face to the ground. Gabriel, for the first time that we meet him, freaks out Daniel. To where Daniel is so terrified, he passes out. Gabriel, Gabriel. Gabriel, lost my spot here. While he was speaking, I fainted and lay there on the ground with my face to the ground, but Gabriel roused me with a touch and helped me to move my feet. Daniel, we got to talk some more, okay? So you got to wake up. Okay, I got this checklist. I got things we got to talk about, and I got to move on, okay? So he wakes him up. So that's the first time we ever meet Gabriel. In the very beginning, Gabriel just likes to appear to people, and he terrifies people. And so at least he picked up a new line. Don't be afraid. didn't help much. And then he figured out the dream thing. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Okay, so that was the first time we meet Gabriel. Love the guy. Eventually he learns. You know, sometimes humans can fear the voice of God. If God wants to speak to you, change your heart, sometimes it's hard to accept. So we're going to read our final scripture here, Daniel chapter 9. So now we're moving again ahead a little in timeline. This is where Gabriel or Daniel just got done repenting on behalf of the nation. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 through 23. I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people. I'm going to read that again because this is important. I went on praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Israel, his holy mountain. As I was praying, Gabriel, who I'd seen in an earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given. He's reading the word. God opens his heart to vision and understanding. He realizes he has a heathen, evil nation. And he begins to pray and repent for him and his nation. And instantly, God hears. Instantly, God sends, issues a command. Gabriel, I don't care what you're doing, get down there now. Because the future is going to happen. My promise is going to get issued. My people are repenting. They are calling on my name again because one man believes. Get down there now. So as he said, the moment he began praying, a command was given. And now I am here to tell you what it was. For you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you understand the meaning of your vision. Gabriel begins to lay out this vision. And we're not going to go way into it. It's pretty cool. It's a 70 times sevens. It's like a timeline that they're laying out. And if you start doing the math, it actually lines up pretty close to when the Christ was supposed to come. And Christ came at this time. It also talks about the 7 years of the end times. So Gabriel is laying it all out. He's saying, "You, by your prayer, the heavens have broken open. God's blessing and favor, God's promises are going to start because you repented and prayed." So here's the point. All of this. Hopefully you got a little understanding of Gabriel. Kind of needs to learn about his people skills, okay? But we met Mary and the shepherds and Joseph, people who believe. Zechariah, who he believed but had his challenges to completely believe. Okay, Gabriel is delivering a message. God wants to deliver a message to us, either through the Holy Spirit or through. But the key piece to the Christmas story. Last week, the key piece was, it's simple. This week, the only way to receive this gift, to accept this gift of Christ, the child, is to repent. There is sin in your life. There is sin in my life. And that gift cannot fit when it is full of crud. Daniel understood that. God, I need to repent of my sins so I can accept this promise and blessing that you have coming. And here we have it. And we're reminded every year at Christmas that Christ came, a simple story, salvation to everyone. But you have sin in there. It must be gone. So what do? We repent. Daniel probably had a new habit. In the morning, in the evening, probably every day, he would repent. He would repent. Repent of sin. What is in there? What's blocking you from receiving this gift, this blessing that God has? I'm pretty sure it's sin. But we can repent of it. We can, and repent simply means I understand what I have before me, and I'm going to turn 180 degrees and walk away from it. So God's blessings are back that way, away from the path that you had. We need to open our hearts, and not only for us, for each other. God, forgive this community. God, forgive my neighborhood. God, forgive this state. Father, forgive this country. Forgive this world. There is turmoil and unrest. I mean, we're going to support Haiti because there's turmoil and unrest. Father, forgive the Haitian people of their sins and their history. Lord, let their hearts turn back to you. Bring your blessings to them. This nation, what's going on in Paris, everywhere, turmoil. But let's not just focus on out there. We have to stop and start with us, God. Before I pray for my brothers and my sisters and these other nations, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let's pray. God, we open our hearts right now. Father, I pray you bring to our mind that thing that is restricting us from receiving this gift. Father, there be sin in our hearts. Father, we can just say right now, Father, I repent. Father, I repent. Father, I pray we believe, whether it's an angel, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, or someone trying to convince us that you've spoken to them. Father, I pray we have belief in our heart that you are a God and you desire to bless us. But to do that, we turn from our sin. Father, I pray for this nation of America. We were once a shining star in the world just for most everything, but not only everything, Father, the most important thing. We were a nation that adored you. And we've fallen from that. And Lord, we can look at the momentum seeming like it's going so much further and further away. But Lord, we can crack open the Word of God just as Daniel did. And we can see promise and hope. And Lord, it just took Daniel, one man, to bow a knee and say, God, I repent. So Father, I, one man, I bow a knee and say, I repent for me and my nation. And Lord, in this room, there can be more than 100 more repenting on behalf of this nation. Father, use America again to be a blessing. Lord, let us bless Haiti. Let us bless Paris. Let us bless North Korea that needs your gospel. Lord, let us be a beacon again to this world. Lord, I pray that our hearts are aligned with Israel, your promised people. Because someday, the end of this prophecy that you spoke to Daniel, there's going to be 7 years. We'll see the Antichrist. We'll see destruction. We'll see difficulties. But Father, we know what the key is, and that's to bow a knee and say, Father, forgive me, and Father, use me. So today we receive your gift, this Christmas story. Lord, and I pray that we can share it with everyone. Lord, that people can learn to repent, turn to you, and receive Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.